Back on The Usual Suspects. Hour number two.
Classic stream material right there.
Barry, Nick.
Not great
Joel.
For radio.
No, not great for radio. But sometimes you just got to keep it light in the studio.
You were. I'm on this bagel, this little person bagel.
Are we learning more about him?
We're going to call him Bagel Bites. Chris Morgan, his YouTube channel. I'm trying to find something we can use. First of all, he's from New York, so every other word is the F word. Mm-hmm. Second of all, I found one where he's at a library with some woman that he wants to, quote, expose. But she's like, I'm not talking to you on camera. And he's like, well, it's my right. And so he's trying to stir up trouble, right? Then the next one I get to is a fat F word at the Grizzlies bar in Bayshore, and he immediately goes to the short card. So
God, he plays that all the time.
Yeah, it's his MO. I mean, there's a Napoleon complex, and then there's this he's like, yo, my girl heard you say something about my height when I went to the restroom. The guy's like, no, I did. He's like, yeah, you did. And that's literally the whole fight. And he starts calling this dude a bully. Oh, and then I'm quoting here, so don't dump me.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to say it because I'm quoting it. I'm not calling him this. I'm quoting himself saying, he goes, oh, you're real big and tough picking on a midget. First of all, bro, you're not a little person. You're right. Just short. Why are you, I mean, like, you're trying too hard to get too much sympathy. And you come across as a dick in the process. No one's going
to... For a guy that seems to think that he can't get a date and like he's trying, well, you're trying the wrong way because it seems like you piss off every woman that comes within 5 feet of you.
It's fascinating. I mean, just going through all these rants and these angry videos, I'm telling you, this dude's going to be a shooter. He's going to be an active shooter somewhere, whether it's a bagel shop or a bar or a library.
This is one of those where the authorities are going to get reamed after the fact for not detaining this guy?
I really feel that way. And then the names of his videos kind of let you know. Fat Bleep at the Grizzlies Bar in Bayshore. Pachuga Library in Denial. Craigslist Con Artist. The Orient Express. I can't even imagine what that's going to be about. I think we all know. Male golfer.
Easy.
It's just, it's weird. There's just too much craziness on this. On this YouTube channel. This is outstanding. I'm gonna keep watching this at the break. So hopefully we can get something for you guys.
Breaking news, Twitter's down.
Do-do-do-do. What?
Yep. We're getting text messages about it. Nick and I both checked it at the break. It is technically having difficulties.
I don't know how we go on. At this point, I think we just shut down the show.
Yeah.
And then we come back.
I think other people would because their show is, they live on it. So I think that's something that has to be considered if this is a long-term
thing.
Who
are you talking about, Joel?
Amanda.
Oh, Amanda Clanton?
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Nick came up with that.
Wow.
Yeah. I had to unfollow him, bro. I didn't want to bring him up, but I had to unfollow. I can't follow a dude that tweets like a girl. I just can't. I just can't, dude. He's an absolute vagina. And he's going to go off and start saying these things like the usual a-holes and stuff. Dude, you're what, isn't he in his 40s? You're a 40-something-year-old man, dude. Like, what are you dumb? What are you, stupid? It's so annoying, dude. I was so annoyed by his tweets, and I really wasn't last trying night. To bring him up on the show, but he's such a girl, dude. I had to unfollow him. He's such a girl.
Wait, tell me, you were following him?
Well, he followed me first. Let's let the record know. And then I followed him back, and then he unfollowed me, so I unfollowed him, just so you know.
Okay.
Facts. But he's a girl, dude. He's an absolute girl. And I'm just honestly, I said this before the show. I need to stay off Twitter because I saw the other dumb thread that Lamont tweeted as well. Who's the most egotistical on ESPN? Dude, you have nothing better with your life to do than tweet stupid threads like that. Really. Like, that's the only thing you have in your life is to tweet stupid crap like that. It's just annoying, dude.
I'm just sitting back and enjoying it.
You want
this.
Me to keep going?
You sitting back like a diva.
Huh?
You sitting back like a diva
no,
over
that
here.
Was that did come up last night. I actually
it's a dumb thread.
I got tagged waste on of space. So many threads well, I didn't need last night.
Well, I'm sure it really, you know, stroked your huge ego that you have.
Of course. Yeah, because it's out of this world. Like some guy who was in the middle of all that.
Sometimes I can't even fit in the studio.
Yeah.
With how big your
ego
is.
That's my ass, too. But Matt, I think, was in the middle of all of it.
Matt.
And just one of our Twitter followers. Oh. And I was just like, I'm just, you know, I'm not going to like add fuel to it and get into it because it's just so ridiculous. It's just so thirsty trying to get attention to all this. And I stayed out of it. And then he said something about, someone tagged me on one of the other festivities going on in Twitter with someone throwing up. And Matt, who was in the middle of all that other stuff, was like, yeah, man, I'm just trying to push it down my timeline because vomit really makes me, like, queasy. And I go, most people with an ego, it does have that effect on it. And he just started laughing. I was like, this whole night of Twitter is just out of control.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
First there was the little Clanton dust up, which again, I didn't really think a big deal out of it, but
I thought it was
whatever.
Over.
Yeah.
I'm just annoyed by it.
My whole thing about it is he kept saying he was going to call me. And I was like, now
he's
it's
not
going to
do nothing. He's just going to sit there behind the mic and behind a keyboard. He's not going to do anything.
But I was like, that's weird that you would think that was a threat. Like, okay, call me then. Like, that's fine. It got weird. And then the ego thing. And I did make a point that because, you know, they were like, well, who has the biggest ego? And then Lamont made a top five, and thankfully I wasn't in it. Dell was in it, which I didn't get. Dell has zero ego. Like, none.
I think I was five. I'm like,
now, if you made a list of jerks and a-holes, Dell might be top three. But ego? No.
No.
No ego with Dell. Not at all. But we were talking about it, and I was like, I think I'm more of a diva than ego. Because that's what somebody else mentioned, and they were like, oh, you know, he's a diva or whatever. And I tend to agree. I probably am more of a diva. But I think that also comes from us being a new show and having to carve out our niche and then kind of fighting for the respect that I feel like we've earned and are earning.
You made some good points. It's points I've made previously, too, about
and
the fact
that. And
that
comes across as being a diva. When you want to be treated like everybody else, then you kind of, the perception is, oh, well, they're divas. Oh, okay. Well,
like I stuck
sorry,
up for
I'm just trying to earn respect, but if you think that's being a diva, okay, that's fine. I could see where I could have diva tendencies, but ego, I know people think I'm right all the time. That's not the case. I promise you it's not.
When people start trying to figure out bits, because I've done the same thing where I, you know, when we first started this, I had to prove that I was more than just a quote-unquote basketball guy. And so if you stick up for yourself and you show that you know other things, then people think, oh, your ego is too big. No, it's just that you want people to understand the truth versus the perception. I think that's – and I thought you made some good points last night, but I just thought the whole thing was just that I was tagged on every single one of them, and I'd step away from my computer for an hour, and I'd come back, and you have 56 new – I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Well, you think you're too good to communicate with people? That's just
no,
your ego.
No, because evidently...
That's just your ego.
I told you this. Evidently, your burner account came at me then and put me on the top three. Better call Joel with a picture of your t-shirt. And then the guy says something about, he's sensitive AF. Okay.
Hey, whatever. That is a wildly popular t-shirt. That doesn't necessarily mean that I have a burner account.
Or two.
I mean...
You and KD.
Listen, if I had a burner account...
That'd be a great code for it.
What, Better Call Joel?
Yeah.
That is pretty funny.
Pretty good.
But he's been down since day one. He's been listening to The Usual Suspects for a very long time.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I didn't get my feelings hurt by it at all. Jeez. I don't care what people say on those things.
Guys, time to do trunk twists. Everybody stand up. Time to get up for an hour. Do our trunk twists. My watch is telling me it's time to exercise.
The village Joel. Person over here is going to start doing his...
Come on, Joel. Do your trunk twists.
Boom. 10,000 calories burned. Boom. Boom.
Young man.
Come on, Joel.
There's a move you can do.
What?
I said, young man. You got your camo on. You're all ready to go.
It's white jeans season, bitches. I'm telling you.
Where? In Belize?
In Houston, baby. Houston. I ran across a list. I'm curious your feedback on this. I didn't put it in the rundown because I just found it. But it goes to a discussion we had a little bit yesterday about... we talked a little bit about Clowney and how they're not, you know, they're looking for, are they shopping for deals and what's going on with him and no GM and all this and that. Where do you think that Jadeveon Clowney would rank among edge rushers in the league? If I gave you three options, top five, top 10, or top 15?
I will go top 10.
Okay.
I will go top 10. And I want to point something out to you guys, too, in this discussion. The Texans are pushing hard to label him because I assume this is amongst defensive linemen?
Edge rushers. They have D linemen and edge rushers.
Because the Texans are trying to get him classified as a linebacker to save money.
No, absolutely. Well, he is considered an edge rusher by most, and that's why the Texans are trying to...
Because I still remember, for all the people that are critical of his consistency and the injuries, and I've been in that camp as well, but overall, it's because his name did pop up a lot in terms of stats, Pro Bowl, getting into the back. I'll say top 10.
Yep, and you nailed it. He was eighth on this list.
Wow.
Yeah. And the names ahead of him, is there any that you disagree with? Clowney registers in at 8. Mm-hmm. Joey Bosa, 7. DeMarcus Lawrence of the Cowboys, 6. Calais Campbell of the Jags, 5. Miles Garrett of the Browns, 4. Cameron Jordan of the Saints, 3. Khalil Mack of the Bears, 2. And Von Miller of the Broncos, 1. Anybody where you're like, oh, well, Clowney's definitely better than them?
No, the only thing that I would say is Calais Campbell's been in the league for a long time. He's a little longer in the tooth.
Yeah, 32.
But other than that, I mean, I don't know that. And Aaron Donald didn't make the top 10?
He's under defensive lineman.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So that's the delineation. Is they're saying you got edge rushers and then your interior or your D lineman in general. Because that's it is a different list on here. The only ones that, you know, so outside of that, Daniel Hunter of the Vikings and Frank Clark of the Chiefs, I think it's a pretty decent list.
Yeah, I think he's above those guys.
Yeah, I think he's somewhere in the 6, 7, and 8 range.
Calais Campbell's the only one that I think that he might have, you know, because of his
age,
longevity, yeah.
All right, but you still think Joey Bosa?
Joey Bosa is a beast. Yeah. If he's healthy, he's a disruptive force.
That's the problem, too.
Yeah, but he has a problem staying healthy just like Clowney does.
So then they did defensive linemen. Now I'll ask you again, where do you think J.J. Watt would rank amongst defensive linemen? Top 5, top 10, or top 15?
His sacks have been down. I will say top 15.
Top 5.
Really?
Yeah. With all the trouble he's had, he's still, I guess, his production.
That's impressive.
Yeah, they have him 3rd.
Aaron Donald 1?
Aaron Donald 1, Fletcher Cox 2, Watt at 3, Chris Jones of the Chiefs at 4, Akeem Hicks of the Bears at 5. So there's your top 5.
Boy, the fact that you have Mack and Hicks on the same squad in my division bothers the hell out of me.
And then 6 through 10, if you're curious, Geno Atkins of the Bengals, 7 is Jarrell Casey of the Titans, 8 is DeForest Buckner of the Niners, 9, Kenny Clark of your Packers, yep. And there's a tie for 10 with Grady Jarrett of the Falcons and Cameron Hayward of the Steelers. But yeah, you're right. You got to look at the Bears and think, man, Hicks and Mack is pretty stout.
Man.
That's a pretty good 1-2
punch.
Their
defense is loaded.
But then you say that and, okay, well, who is the other team on here that has at least 2 guys in this top 10? And that's the Texans.
The Texans,
Yeah, with Watt and Clowney, so.
But are you going to pay him? Okay, before we go to break, Nick? Barry, real quick, yes or no? You going to pay Jadeveon Clowney the same money as Khalil Mack or Aaron Donald?
I think you're not supposed to, but if the market forces me to and that's all that's available, yes. But to answer your question in a yes or no form, I would say no.
I'm saying no. Because he's not put up their numbers. He has their potential.
Correct.
But he doesn't have their
production
or output.
But how many years can you pay on potential when you're paying big money to JJ? You're going to have to pay Deshaun.
NFL's never been a potential paying league. It's always been a, where are you at currently?
Janet Jackson, what have you done for me lately? So, yeah. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Hour number 2, 3-hour show. Having a lot of fun. Hopefully you are too. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more in mere minutes on ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I'm telling you, sometimes, that's why we need like a satellite XM channel. Because sometimes the best stuff we have, we just can't go to air with.
Mm. Yeah, just
riled up.
You're still jumping at the bit over here.
I want to say some things, but listen, it's a bad day for short people, so I'm going to leave it alone.
I got to give you credit. You've been high-roading a lot more than I would have expected.
A lot.
Nick today was like, bro, why'd you go high road again?
Yeah, I was like, why didn't you just go after that fool?
I'm like.
Or that girl, whatever. I'm just saying. Why didn't you go after her?
Don't need to. That's the thing.
I think he handled it well.
I think he did, too. I was just kind of, you know.
Y'all wanted me to.
I think a lot of people did.
We know you better than most. And we know it takes like a fraction of that to set you off.
I was exhausted not doing it. Just holding back. I was exhausted. So Trust me when I tell you.
Not angry people. Just exhausted, right?
Right.
So like people don't think that you were like losing sleep over this. Oh. I wasn't either. I'm just so annoyed.
I was just laughing going, what are we like sending notes in high school? Yeah. But then when it gets down to study hall and you're going to square off, you're going to run for the hills?
Somebody said yesterday on the whole ego topic that we were talking about.
Yeah.
I was listening yesterday. The Blitz was making it as a good thing, but everyone was making a big deal about it and it took it out of context. They separated from ego to egomaniac.
All I know is I was tagged way too much.
Yeah, I'm not making a big deal out of it. I just think it's a waste of a thread. That's all.
Yeah.
Are we getting Troy's call?
Sure. Well, real quick, John Parker said, can I bring back Barry's flabby arms and Joel's pink headphones on Twitter?
I got to find. I still have those headphones somewhere.
Yeah, that's fine. Bring back Barry's flabby arms. That's
I'll
fine.
Get some new stickers.
I'll just mute that stupid ass account. Roscoe said, y'all make me laugh. Both of you guys are both sensitive. Just admit it, Roscoe. Yeah, Roscoe, I'm very sensitive, man. I don't even appreciate this text telling me I'm sensitive. Now,
what are you trying to say, Roscoe?
I don't know. Like, why do you have to be so mean?
Yeah.
Roscoe, why? I don't understand that.
Why
you know
me?
I'm blocking you, Roscoe. That's it. You're out of
here,
pal.
That's unnecessary.
You're blocked, Roscoe.
I'm not happy about that.
Punk ass.
Troy, what's up, brother? You want to talk money? What, you got something for us?
What's going on, man?
What up, buddy?
No, I wanted to ask you guys a question, so... If you're driving down the highway and $100 bills start flying all around, are you going to get out, pick them up, and give them back? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm getting some new guns and rod and reels, and Mom's getting a new vacuum cleaner. I'll hang up, listen.
Did y'all see that the other day?
What on earth was that about?
What was that reference?
I don't know. I guess that he's saying that he would clean up the money, wouldn't give it back, and that he would buy some rims for his
car. Was there money on the road?
So there was a story the other day, and I forget exactly what happened, but... All of a sudden, there were I don't know if they were $100 bills, but there were lots of bills flying all over the highway, and people were like pulling over to the side of the road and like trying to pick it all up, and then the authorities were saying, "Well, you have to give that back." I'm telling you right now, they're like, "That's part of a case, or it was a robbery, or this or that." I don't care, and I'm pretty sure on those stretches of highway, you don't have the surveillance cameras you have in the middle of the city, like. Go ahead and prove.
I'll be honest. If they were to issue like an ultimatum where they were like, you either bring the money back now, no questions asked, or if we find you, you're going to jail, I'd probably take the money back.
At that point.
But if they're just like, give us the money back, and you're like, oh, I'm just going to pretend like I didn't see it. That's because that's what I would claim is, well, I never saw you guys ask for the money back.
Well, here's the thing. The authorities weren't there yet. Unless they get there and they have your license plate or some way to contact me, I'm like, well, I'm just picking it up so that I can return it to the local police station. If you don't reach out in 10 days, well, you know what? I forgot it's in the backseat of my car.
Possession's 9/10 of the law, right? I mean, I own it. If it's mine, I didn't steal it.
Unless it's
a difference between stealing something and finding something, right?
And unless it's marked money, you know how they marked on certain robberies and things like that. They true. Have unless it's like it's spackled with the red or the blue, where if it's stolen, it can blow up.
Right.
But other than that, if they can't mark the money and prove it was part of that deal,
but who's pulling over on the freeway? Wouldn't that? I would be worried you'd get run over.
Oh, bro, they were on the shoulder, and it was up against the guardrail.
Oh, people so it wasn't were just, in the middle of the...
And I was surprised they weren't using, like... Remember those old phone booth money games that they...
Yes.
Like, I was surprised they weren't doing it like that. Like, two hands scraping and going... People were just casually just bending over, starting to pick up bill after bill. I was like, man, I'd be two scooping that thing and put it in my pockets and in my drawers. Come on.
Yeah, I would roll down the windows, throw it in your car and drive off.
No?
You're already there. Might as well. Yeah, I would definitely stop and grab some of that if possible without getting run over.
Yeah, so that was a thing the other day. I forget where it happened, but it definitely, and it was a large sum of money because there was a lot of bills flying around.
Indeed.
So.
Question for you.
Yes.
Who would you say for next year is the most watchable team in the NBA?
What? Most watchable team?
Most watchable team in the NBA.
I think it's going to be Clippers.
I would agree with that.
100%.
I think that's which way I would go as well.
I could be wrong.
For the Win does not agree with either of you.
Okay.
They have the Clippers ranked third. And that doesn't surprise me because let's be real. Who's the biggest star LeBron. In the NBA? Everybody wants to see LeBron and what he's going to do with AD. So they have the Lakers as one. And then they added Boogie and Kuzma. And now you're getting some depth around him. So they have the Lakers one. Here's where I tend to disagree. Number two.
Philly?
No. Milwaukee.
I can see that. You got the reigning MVP.
But you've got these new superpowers, these new teams.
But the young, hip, and cool guy.
I would move the Clippers ahead of
Giannis.
Yeah, but I would put the Clippers.
But Barry, there was a time.
You just teamed up Kawhi and Paul George. You'd move that ahead of the Greek Freak and nothing but dunks.
There was a time when Jordan's Bulls didn't have a whole lot around him, but Jordan was the number one draw. When LeBron first came in the league.
You're not comparing Giannis to Jordan.
No, but I'm saying when you get the new kind of it guy in the league, people want to see him. And especially because most of the powers are in the West. And he only comes, like, to say for Houston, he only comes here once a year. That's going to be a big sellout. And they're going to gauge it by,
like, TV and who.
I would say,
I'm with you guys. I would have both LA teams at 1 and 2. Uh-huh. I would have the Clippers up there. I would have the Lakers as 1 just because of LeBron.
I get it.
With AD and you know.
But I think the most watchable means with the team around them that is going to play the best basketball, too. I think it's going to take the while for the Lakers. No, I think it's the Clippers.
Losing Brogdon,
that's why I said I think it's the Clippers.
But that's why I told you I would probably flip-flop the Clippers and the Bucks at least and have the Bucks 2 or the Bucks 3.
But why I'm arguing the Lakers is because with like the entire roster turned over with the exception of Kuzma and LeBron.
Yeah.
It's going to take a good long time for them to be watchable.
You want
to
know who 4 is?
I'm going to say it again. Philly.
No.
Portland?
Philly is 5.
Okay.
Portland is 7. The Rockets are 4th.
Really?
Yeah. And all the caption says is, oh, to be able to watch James Harden play every night.
Really?
This is what it speaks to, though, Joel. I think in this city, we've become accustomed to James Harden. And we don't necessarily appreciate his abilities on the court because we take it for granted.
I see what you're saying.
The
but
rest
I'm gonna
of
say
the country
this.
Doesn't have to see James Harden every day and the other stuff that goes on. They see him once, twice, three times, you know, in a half season.
But these
and
aren't naive basketball fans. The fact that, look, he's hyper talented, but who wants to watch a guy dribble the 19 seconds of the clock out before he does anything with it?
What he can do, though, offensively.
I don't disagree with that, but I just think it's a bad style to watch.
So I told you the Philly was 5 and Portland was 7.
Yep.
Number 6 on the list?
Denver?
Pelicans.
Well, I can see Zion.
Zion. Pretty interesting.
All right. We've got 90 minutes in the books. That means still 90 more to go in the big show. We got a room for you if you want to join us. 713-780-3776. HR&P listener line. You can call. You can text. You can hit us on Twitter. Back with the second half right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. It is the second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, Joel in Gal Media Studios on a Thursday. Got a comedian all set up for tomorrow? And we'll take that as a no. So we got that to look forward to tomorrow on an FYF Friday. And obviously a lot of fun and games there. Not so news of the day. Also, Adam Schefter breaking the news. The Texans are expected to go through the entire season without a general manager. Duh.
Yeah.
This was like 6 weeks ago where we all knew that.
Yeah, I don't understand why it became news again, but I saw somebody tweeting about that, about how
Schefter got it out there, then everybody was
Lance.
Running with it on, like, national news.
Lance was like, meanwhile, in Houston, everyone's wondering why the hell this became news again.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it hit the
They're
going to
wait for Caserio. We've already said it's going to be an issue. The other thing that we even talked about the other day was the fact that, and I did a Sportsnet video that should be coming out this afternoon on it, like, if Bill O'Brien and... If you read the stories that are out there in the reports, Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain butted heads on this whole Clowney thing. You were just talking about him, Barry. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you're not going to give him the same kind of money that he says he's not going to give the Texans a discount that he wants to be in that Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack range, then you're either going to roll the dice and give him way too much money this year and next year with franchise tags and then let him walk. Or you should find a deal for him.
Well, they're going to mess around and find themselves in the same spot that the Chargers are in because now Melvin Gordon's holding out.
That's the news of the
day. He wants a deal. And you have a feeling that that situation could turn into a Le'Veon Bell.
Exactly
right. Situation. So, you know, it's one of those things where, look, I'm not going to bitch and moan about it because the players have been at a disadvantage in this league when it comes to contracts and money for the entirety of the league. And if the players are now getting some leverage, I'm okay with that.
And we've said, look, in this sport alone, because of the physicality, the risk of injury, not just career threatening, but in some sort or fashion, almost life altering in the way that it can damage the human body of the players playing, they deserve better. The guaranteed contracts with all the guaranteed money that are floating around in the NBA and in Major League Baseball, and you know these players put their bodies on the line more than any other player, and yet their guarantees and security are less than any of the other major leagues.
Yep.
They need to figure this stuff out. It sucks if it's your team and your player like Melvin Gordon is going to hold out, but you totally understand why.
I do. I really do. Because when you look at Melvin Gordon and what he's done in his career, let's see. This will be his fifth year in the league. His first 4 years, his first year in the league, his base salary was $421,000.
And he was a first round pick.
Think about that. $421,000. Now he had his signing bonus that he's getting every year, which is $1.5 million. But I mean, his yearly cash and his dead cap money is way more than what he's making. It's crazy, man. He'll make $5.5 million this year.
Still underpaid for a guy that plays his position. And he knows that, like we've said, the life expectancy of a running back in this league is, what, 8 years?
Melvin Gordon should be making about $10 million a year.
Yeah.
At least.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to get five this year. So he's like, nope, I want my money. I've earned it, and I think he has. And if I'm the Chargers, what are you going to do?
And at least if you're the Chargers, you have a general manager in place so that you can work a deal out. You know, now they're saying it's going to be up to a five-headed horseman that's going to lead up the general manager duties for the entire year for the Texans. It's like, well, it's already difficult, as we found out, to get your head coach and your GM on the same page. But now you're going to ask up to five guys to get in the same room and make one decision.
Well, I imagine each of them will have a different role.
Sure, I get capology and all the other things. But at the same time, you know, you're right. The thing is, I saw a video online where someone was they were doing a TV feature on Melvin Gordon, his family, and they were watching games, and they were talking about the Le'Veon Bell situation. And even at that time, he hasn't wavered. And this was before this all came up, that he said, hell yeah, I'd do the same thing. Hang out for what's right.
Yep.
And so you knew, you know, he's got a point. He's put up numbers. He's done a better job of staying healthy than he did earlier in his career. He still gets dinged up. He's not your prototypical big, bulky, strong, physical running back for an every down back, but he also gives you another option by being able to catch the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah.
So he has a lot of value that people just look at it as toting the rock, but he has a lot of receptions too. He's a dangerous weapon in the backfield, and if the Chargers are going to be one, a lot of people's sexy pick to make a long run this year, you need Melvin Gordon.
Indeed.
Chuck wants to get in here, by the way, on Melvin Gordon. It's like old suspects showing back up day. We had Troy, now we have Chuck.
All right, what's up, Chuck? Oh.
Oh, okay, sorry. So we'll get to Chuck in a minute. He wants to get in.
I was looking at the numbers for Gordon. You mentioned the receiving yards. You know, he had 200 in his first year, he had 192. But since then, 420, 476, and 490. So again, good,
you get
good
an
output.
Extra 500 yards a year from the out of the backfield. And that's fantastic.
And 10 touchdowns over those 3 years as well.
He's been, from a fantasy football perspective, people know this, he's been a big guy to reach the end zone a lot.
Now, he's only played in 16 games once.
Yep.
But he for all intents and purposes, he hit 1,000 yards in 2016. He had 997 and 10 touchdowns. And he had 1,105 and 8 touchdowns. And then last year, limited, he played in 12 games, 885 yards, but still had the 10 touchdowns. So, you know, his average was way up with 5.1 yards a carry last year. So if he's on the field, he's effective.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if I'm him at this point and I can get my money, I'm going to get my money.
And the thing is, Barry, at this point, you say he's been in the league 5 years. We know the life expectancy of a running back in the league is around 8 on the top side. He's got to get his now.
I don't begrudge him. I know a lot of people look at that and go, oh, bro, they're spoiled, and you had a contract, and you play. Well, you know what? He also has – these players also have a contract. Because that's the big argument you get when you hear this, right? Especially from owners when you get, when you got guys that say, well, you know what? I'm going to hold out for more money, or I'm going to hold out to renegotiate or get a new deal or get traded or whatever. And then you'll have these – the owners and front office people come out and kind of position themselves like, well – you know, a deal's a deal and a contract's a contract. Well, that's great if you want to say that, but then you guys are in a position to be able to cut this player at any moment and free yourself from that money.
Yeah, here's the thing.
So it's not, you may have a deal, but it's a crappy deal.
It's the opposite way of the way fans normally tend to look at it from the owner and the team's perspective, but you can easily outperform a contract too. So just the way people say, you know, that, From a perspective, oh, you're getting a bargain. But the bottom line is that if he consistently outperforms the money he's making, then you need to take care of this guy. That's why the contracts were made to be broken phrase came up, because you can break that deal and take care of a guy you want to keep. Because otherwise, if you piss him off, when his contract does come due, I'm gone.
Yep.
So Chuck wants to get in here and talk about Melvin Gordon. Chuck, what's up?
What's up, fellas?
What up, man? Long time no talk.
Yeah, where you been?
Just got out of county, man. Oh, man. Just, you know, they don't let me call.
Wait, Chuck, your one phone call wasn't
to us? I was
going to
say, yeah.
Come on, man. Good to hear your voice, man. What's up?
You know, sometimes they're hey, man, I got to knock out Big Melvin before the, you know, I can get to the phone.
Gotcha.
So I just got to do what I got to do. But, hey, I just wanted to say something, man. I understand. I ain't got no dog in a fight. I understand where the players – need their money, and they need to get paid more. But, guys, you know, there is a way for him not to get hurt. It's called don't play football. If he could have played baseball, he would have. If he could have played basketball at a high level, he would have. But he makes the choice to play football. I would take $5.1 million for a year. I'm sure any of you two would take $5.1 million for a year to play football.
Okay, Chuck, hold on. You can't put that on him and say he should have played another sport. He shouldn't be penalized for playing the sport that he plays best. You put it on the league. When you look at the big four leagues, and particularly the big three that we look at, which is baseball, basketball, football, if two of the three leagues and their players' association have taken the time to get it right to protect their players, which in fact is the game.
Wayne, I understand that. You're right. So it should be collectively bargained, right? That's what you're saying. And let me ask you something. How much are we complaining about Chris Paul's contract right now? How much has everybody said that's a bad deal because the Rockets did him right? Look, man, it's both give or take. You have a choice. If he doesn't want to play football, you know, and he feels he's going to get hurt, that there is a way out of it. You don't have to do it.
Well, Barry, correct me if I'm wrong, but did the Rockets do him right, or did they do what they had to do to make the trade? I don't think they did him right.
They did what they had to do.
But they weren't going to get him without that handshake deal.
Well, I understand that. That's what I'm saying. That's the sport they're in. He's a football player. I understand he wants to play football. But the bottom line is there's 10 other backs that are waiting behind him that would love to take $5.1 million.
But they're not, right. Chuck, first right of all, they're not as good. And second of all, the general manager of your basketball team made that deal that long. Yeah, you had to make a handshake deal with Chris Paul on a Supermax deal. You didn't have to make it for 4 years. You could have had a hard stance and said, look, we'll give it to you for two. If you want to meet in the middle, maybe three. But four is what really straps the organization, and they did that. So there's other factors you got to factor in. It's not that cut and dried. And the guys behind Melvin Gordon aren't going to be as good a player as Melvin Gordon.
How do you know? Melvin Gordon missed 2 years with injury. That's what I'm saying.
He didn't miss 2 years. He missed some games.
No, he missed a year, man. The first time he had knee ligaments. First year, he never got out of his training game. I mean, I'm not trying to argue with you. I know they need to be paid more. But what I'm saying is, so do firefighters, policemen, teachers, army, everybody. The whole world needs to get paid more. But, I mean, we sit around here and whine about a guy making $5.1 million who is now worried about his future. And nobody's putting a gun to his head to say play. you can do something else. That's all I'm saying, man. I'm not, you know I got love for you guys.
Of course, man.
Yeah, but dude, this is not an argument.
No, it's just a healthy discussion.
You know, it's just, I hear this debate all the time, and it's like we forget that, I mean, he has a choice. And he may not want to play. That's his right to hold out. I hope he does. If it makes him more money, hey, more power to him. But I'm just saying, he has a choice. It's not like he didn't know what he was getting into when he got into it. This has been going on for the last 10 years in this collective bargaining agreement with the NFL players. They never stand strong. They never get what they need. And perhaps their leadership needs to do better for them. I would ask for health care for life.
No, that's
Chuck, we got to go, bud. Yeah. We got to get out of here, man. Appreciate the call.
And he's right. And that's where the collective bargaining and the Players Association have to do a better job for him. You know who does a great job for you? With this storm approaching, you may not want to find out if you have a leaky roof or you've been thinking about putting a new roof on your house and now you're worried about it. Well, I can tell you that there's still time to call Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing is the locally owned and operated roofing company that does it better than anybody else. And they're going to have your back. They're going to take care of you with the best product and the best customer service in the city, bar none. I'm telling you right now, you can get a free no-obligation inspection today and be ahead of this storm and make sure your roof is up to snuff. Call 832-521-3001 or log on to fitzroofing.com, and you can talk to someone about checking out your roof and what you may need to do to it and if it needs to be replaced or if you've been thinking about replacing it, and they're going to do it all for free. They're going to check everything out, and then you call them back if you want them to get to work, and they're going to do great, great work. It's quality product. It's CertainTeed shingles. They're the best in the business. Fitz Roofing does so much work with CertainTeed shingles that they are a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. Only 1% of the roofers in the United States have that criteria. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. Their base warranties, longer and better than your average roofer. And the most important thing to you, they got an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on both Facebook and Home Advisor. Why would you go to anywhere else? They're going to take care of you, and they're also going to give you that free no-obligation inspection. Again, call them 832-521-3001 or fitzroofing.com. Fitz Roofing, making a difference. One home at a time.
ESPN 97.5.
On a Thursday on The Usual Suspects, if your Twitter is down, it's even more reason to just get more engaged in the show. We're going to be fine. Everything's going to be okay. The people are acting like the world is coming to an end because Twitter's down.
Sucks, though.
Barry is just a D.
Yeah, what is he doing?
So I've had all kinds of issues with coffee in this place today.
Oh, you got a company?
Everybody here drains the coffee pot, the coffee, whatever, dispenser, and they don't refill it. And now I watched the new girl that I don't know, who was very nice, go through. First thing is, she goes to the first one, it goes when she pushes the lever down, which means it's empty. So she just pushes that aside. She goes to the next one. She gets about a half a cup, and then that starts going, and she goes, oh, I guess they're empty. And she walks away, and I go, okay, so you're not going to make any more. And then I go, and then Laura comes in. She goes, over on the culture map side, we have more. I go over there, ice cold.
And Barry has a
so
hot cup of coffee.
So I go and start a new pot, doing the right thing. And this D
penis
over here, yeah, goes over and makes himself an individual cup. Oh, we were out of cups, by the way, first. Two, we had to solve that issue. And now he's over here, Kermit the Frog, slow sipping me, yeah, as we come back from break.
You couldn't fight them temptations is what it is.
I didn't even want coffee. I just wanted to get coffee to piss Joel off. That is literally all.
And
I
you didn't think to get him a cup of coffee while no. Normally, see, you're like, hey, you want something?
Why would I
you
do that?
You used to offer us so much. Hey, you want me to grab something for you? Don't get that no more.
I don't like y'all.
Yeah, that's why? Same team.
I mean,
it's not the B team here. Same team, bud.
I know. I just
what you did there.
Know. I just
you're rolling.
By the way,
somebody
on the text line said that Gordon can't hold out. Yeah, he absolutely can. They said Gordon's still under contract, so he can't take the bell route. Yeah, he absolutely can, JJ. He can. He won't get paid, but he can absolutely hold out. He is within his right to not play and not get paid. So that's essentially what Bell did.
Yeah.
So, yes, he can. And then people wanted to know, would you trade Clowney for Gordon? Several questions are asking, should the Texans go out and trade Clowney for Gordon? Somebody said, would you trade Clowney for Gordon and a lineman? I don't think you're going to get all that.
No.
A guy that's got a ton of potential but no proven, you know, I mean, he's had one great year, and that was it.
But based on my personal feelings and what I've already, I stand by what I've said all along about Clowney. I definitely would trade Clowney for Melvin Gordon.
Would you?
I would. If you're not going to pay him.
I would too, man.
Here's part of the problem, okay? And remember yesterday we ran through an exercise on the top offensive linemen in the NFL, right? What were the two that were top five that were in this division? The Titans and the Jags. You know that you're going to have to get after those quarterbacks. You know that you're going to have to get pressure on them. You're not 1,000% sure what your secondary is going to be. There is something to be said for having that two-headed monster, especially if J.J. Watt can be all the way back and be healthy. And Clowney, if he gets a contract and he's happy and ready to play, there's something to be said for combating an improved offense with both the Titans and the Jags with a defensive line that can get after the quarterback and get around both good lines and good tackles. So that's the devil's advocate side of it. Now, if you have no rushing game, fine. But remember, Lamar Miller was a top 10 rusher. Am I suggesting that Melvin Gordon and Lamar Miller are the same? No. Melvin Gordon's a better back than Lamar Miller. But if you can get top 10 rushing production from a Lamar Miller and you can still get pressure on the quarterback, you're better than giving up half of that pressure.
So
now JJ's always getting double-teamed.
Long term? Are you gonna? I just want to ask this before I come back at you. Are you gonna?
I'm just saying. You don't just think right away that Clowney is expendable. There's something to be said. It depends on the cost.
But I'm asking. Okay, because that
totally depends
here's
on
my
what
deal.
You can get him
because
for.
From a Clowney perspective, there's already questions about his heart and how much dedication he is into this game. Though he is just a physical freak of nature that can wreak havoc when he's dialed in, right? But I asked the question because, quite simply, if you're not going to sign him long-term, do you really think on a one-year franchise tag, he's going to go 100% for you? He's going to be so focused on, I got to get a long-term deal, and if I get hurt, I'm screwed. He's not going to be going 100% for you. He's going to be tiptoeing around worrying about if he gets hit from the side, and he's probably going to give you less from an effort standpoint than you've ever seen him give you before until he gets that long-term deal.
But if he pulls it, if he does that and he doesn't put up the numbers, how much leverage does he have come contract negotiation time? Like if he acts like he's going to put half the effort.
I see your point. But he can also come forward and just be honest and say, "Look, I mean, my numbers were down last year, but they're down for a reason. Until I know that I've got financial security and my deal's in place, I'm not going out there and getting an ACL tear or screwing up my leg and then I'm really screwed."
The other thing too is you can go out and get Melvin Gordon, but this isn't exactly the best offensive line either.
That's a good point.
I was just going to say, because to your point about the thing is, I don't think they can develop O-lines as much. I don't give them enough credit for it, and I want to be wrong, like the coaching staff. And so
obviously they can't.
I don't think they can develop. Like, I'm talking about with people that are already on the team.
But you're saying the Texans, because lots of teams have proven you can develop offensive linemen.
Right, exactly. I'm talking specific. Okay. I didn't want to, go off on a tangent on Bill O'Brien and the coaching staff. I just haven't seen enough to say they can take a guy that's already on the team, perhaps on the practice squad, and develop him. That's why giving up on a Jadeveon Clowney, I can kind of see your point. And considering the O-line rankings that we talked about, that would be a bit of a gamble.
Because there's no guarantee that you add Melvin Gordon and this team is better at rushing.
Yeah.
They may still be 10th because the O-line is
correct.
So bad.
But, and you're absolutely right. The only thing.
So now you've lost Clowney and you're still a top 10 rushing team.
We're just dealing with the hypothetical that was thrown at us. And I'm saying essentially what we always say is if you know you're going to lose a guy, then you try and get something for him so he doesn't just walk out the door.
But the trick is, in this case, in this scenario, you just have the 1 year left with Gordon, so you might lose him too. So you're trading a rental for a rental, essentially. Now, yes, you can franchise him and all that, but that's not what he wants. He wants what Clowney wants. He wants a long-term deal. So who would you rather give money to? That's the question.
You can Chris Paul him and you can say, look, we're not making this deal unless we know we can sign you.
True. But who would you rather give money to? Would you rather give money to Jadeveon Clowney or would you rather give money to... That was the remix. Jadeveon Clowney or would you rather give it to Melvin Gordon?
See, here's the thing. It depends because
answer the question.
I'm going to give it to Melvin Gordon because I know that the price tag is going to be less than what the defensive lineman's price tag is going to be, and the fact that you already have tied up a lot of money in a defensive lineman in J.J. Watt, and you've got DeAndre Hopkins on his big deal. And I think that from an offensive perspective, you don't go a long, long, long-term deal with him. But I'd give him the money, and I would be more likely to give Gordon the deal than I would Clowney.
I think I'm giving Clowney the money.
How much?
Again, I'm not going to make him the highest paid edge rusher in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to give him the money too because when you think about you very rarely do you get a guy like Jadeveon Clowney to be able to do what he does. They just don't come around that often. And we saw, I mean, he's top 10 in his position in the NFL. And there are basically seven guys that are better than him. And how much better than him is relative, because then you look at, you can compare what you have in a guy like Lamar Miller and Melvin Gordon and say, are they close? Are they similar? Lamar Miller outrushed Melvin Gordon last year, and yards per carry or yards per, you know, yards average was very similar, 4.6 to 5.1. So the gap there, I don't think is as big as who would be your replacement for Jadeveon Clowney on this team, right? I would give the money to a guy at a position that's difficult to get. Running backs you can get in the draft all the time.
But look, they thought
edge rushers like Jadeveon Clowney that are a top 10 guy don't come around that often.
But there's still guys that are going to be out there in free agency that if you really feel like that's a need when he does go away, that you can still get.
Yeah, that's true.
Because at the same time, from a draftable standpoint, they thought that they had their future at running back until he tore his Achilles in Foreman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, you can always say it. Just like Chuck saying there's four or five guys behind Gordon that want that money. But that's fine, they want that money, but they don't have that same ability.
How old is Melvin Gordon?
Well, if he's only been in the league 5 years,
he's the same
probably
age as
26, Clown. 27, right?
Yeah, he's the same age as Clown. He's 26. 26 and 89 days. Clowney's 26 and 147 days. So they're essentially the same age.
No, he just turned 26.
Yeah, wow. That's why I said 26 and 89 days.
Take that.
So they're both essentially the same age. And then you look at Lamar Miller, he's 28. I just feel like if you're going to, you don't just make the move to make the move.
I'm not saying, because we had a question thrown our way, so I was just responding to it.
And I think, too, when it comes to the money, it's the value. What could you get a better value with negotiating with Melvin Gordon, or are you going to get a better value negotiating with Jadeveon Clowney? And value is relative. It's not amount, it's value.
I actually, call me crazy. I think you get a better deal with Gordon.
Okay.
You don't have to pay as much.
Yeah, you know what else you get a better deal? With get upside.
I see what you did.
Huh? Because you get money back. That's a great deal. That's a contract I want to sign where I go out and do something and then I spend money and then I get money back. That's a great deal. Get Upside, completely free to download and put on your phone. It's an app. And its sole purpose in life, its sole reason for being is to give you cash back for your purchases, specifically gas and food. And there's over 100 restaurants in the city of Houston where you can get up to 35% cash back. Over 500 gas stations just in the city alone where you can get up to 25 cents a gallon back. And don't forget, they've got that Refer a Friend program as well. You can send your friends to Get Upside. They use your promo code. I have my promo code, which is Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. I don't get anything for that. That's just me giving you guys a little bump to get your seed money going within the Get Upside app itself. It gives you a boost on your first fill up. But you, when your friends use your promo code, can get extra money back. And I think that's how the guy that showed me he had over $300 in his account, that's how he built that up, is he was using it to get gas, he was using it to get food, but he was also telling his friends about it, and they were using it. Now, you don't have to do that. And again, there's no catch, there's no gimmicks, there's no fees or anything when it comes to Get Upside. These businesses want you to go to them, so they offer you these deals, but you can only get the deals through the Get Upside app. And they were featured on ABC 13. It's legit. It's money in your pocket and that you're leaving at the table and the pump if you're not using Get Upside. So go download it right now, put in promo code Barry, start getting that cash back. Thank me later.